Welcome to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. I'm your host, Todd Perlmutter. Our world is a projection of our collective consciousness. The more peace we bring into our lives, the more peace we bring into this world. So let the transformation begin. Isn't it remarkable that we have a voice in our head that creates all the suffering in our lives? We have our own torturer walking around, following us everywhere we go, reminding us of the worst moments of our lives, reminding us of our worst fears, always bringing up our mistakes, embarrassing moments, cruel behaviors of others. Long after the event passed. And just like watching anything that is persuasive for long enough, eventually we just believe it. We are a species of Stockholm syndrome victims. We have all come to love and trust our worst abuser. We may have days, weeks, months, or just moments where we are free from negativity, where we're able to either distract ourselves from that voice for long enough to find a semblance of peace and happiness, or in a longer-term perspective, we may feel like our life has ups and downs, and some months, weeks, years even, everything can feel like it's going great. And then a little thing or a big thing can send us back down that rabbit hole of negativity and really a downward spiral that we just seemingly can't escape from. And those downtimes can last for also moments, days, weeks, months, or years. And when we are feeling that negativity, that draining, exhausted, obsessive thinking that we feel trapped inside, we need to do three things. First, we want to end it. We want to break that cycle. We do not want to go down that black hole and pass that event horizon to the point where we cannot escape. The second thing we need to do is prevent those moments, to prevent that tendency to slide down that slippery slope. And the third thing we need to do is find a way to turn it into a positive so that when we get cut off in traffic or when tragedy strikes, we are mentally, spiritually, and emotionally able to resist that former habit because we're able to create something new, something positive, something conscious and intentional, instead of unconsciously reacting to those triggers that happen around us. And I know that those triggers are real. Those job losses, those relationship ending moments, those moments where we've been abused or let down are very real and they are very painful. And even though it may not seem like it at the time, there is always more than one way to respond to something. We can respond to anything that happens to us with wisdom or in a self-destructive way. And especially when something bad has happened to us, we deserve to give ourselves that healing response. We are worth it. We are not slaves to our environment. We are the conscious creators of our inner space. And there is nothing that we cannot heal from and overcome. And the way we do that is first, if we are in this negative downward spiral, we need to end it. That is the first step. We need to break that cycle of negative thinking. And there are many, many ways we can do this. And they are rather simple. Usually, when we get stuck in this negative thought spiral, we don't change anything about our situation, and we're waiting for our mindset to change. And I have found personally that when we flip that around and we change something about our physical situation, we are able to break that inner situation. And that can be as simple as watching a movie or stand-up comedy or whatever can pull our attention and our thought stream and our focus out of whatever we've been obsessing on. It can be going for a run, going to the gym, going for a walk. It can be speaking with a friend, playing a game, going for a walk in nature, or even meditating is an incredibly powerful tool to sit with what is present, to make peace with whatever is going on, and to observe the constantly changing nature of the mind. And within a few minutes or an hour, however long it takes, we will find, as we put away all the distractions, that the mind keeps jumping from topic to topic. And usually, we are not thinking and feeling the same thing at the end of a meditation as we did at the beginning. And it is simply that practice of observing the thoughts instead of thinking them, and to notice the constant change, and to bring our attention back to our breath or to a mantra, and using that to change our state of awareness and to break that thought process, because that is really what meditation is. It is the interruption of thought by focusing on our breath or mantra or a voice from a guided meditation. These are profound ways to break that train of thought and to create a totally new train of thought that is coming from this deep peace. The more we practice meditation, the easier it is to use it when we are very chaotic in our lives. So by making it a habit, a daily habit, 5-10 minutes a day, repeating a mantra is the easiest way to stop the unconscious negative thinking. Focusing on the breath is a little more challenging for beginners, and either one is incredibly powerful to start a new way of thinking with peacefulness and calm, because we are still in the body, and naturally that can still the mind. Depending on where I am, depending on the day, depending on how I'm feeling, any of those are incredibly transformative practices for just getting us out of our head and helping us think about something else. But those distractions are really great for when we're in the moment and we're lost in thought. But at the end of the day, those thoughts are still there. Those fears, those worries, those regrets are still under the surface. And if we become workaholics or gym addicts, or we become dependent on entertainment to lift us up when we are falling down, then we are not really dealing with the problem, and we're not increasing our peace and joy. We are just masking our pain and suffering. And so the second thing we need to do is prevent that downward spiral from happening in the first place. And the way we do that is twofold. First, we really need to explore our triggers, explore the root cause of why a trigger sets us off. And that comes from recognizing that we have certain mental habits, that we have certain ways of seeing and reacting to the world. And most of those are unconscious programs that we have been conditioned to believe and think. Often, embarrassment stems from being criticized or ridiculed, often in our young age. Often, our fear of losing a house or a job stems from things we've seen in the news, things we may have experienced or seen others experience at some point in our lives. And fear of losing someone we love stems from our attachment to that person and to a fear of either rejection or loneliness, which may also stem from feeling neglected or abandoned when we were younger. But we don't even really have to go that deep. We simply need to explore those triggering moments. And we probably have more than enough material to work with. We probably have so many times in our past where we have become very despondent, depressed, angry, resentful, lost in regret. And simply by looking at what triggered that, we can really meditate on that, and we can mentally prepare for something like that to trigger us again. And a lot of people try to avoid their triggers. A lot of people try to create a life where we'll never be criticized, we'll never be rejected. But that only leads to a small, fearful, lonely life. And if instead we recognize those fears and we visualize how we would respond with our highest wisdom, with our utmost patience, we are simply by visualizing, living that moment, even though it's in our head, there is no difference between doing something in our mind or doing something for real, according to our mind. It is the same processes of the brain going on, and we are rewiring our brain to naturally respond that way in a future situation. We are naturally creating a wise, conscious response simply through repeated visualization. This is the process of rewiring our brain and creating new automatic habits. When we have a little distance to prepare, to prevent these negative train of thoughts, we create this inertia that reverses all of the inertia that our past habits have led up to this moment have caused. And we are creating an inertia in the opposite direction, so that instead of thinking negatively and losing ourselves to these heavy emotions and negative thoughts, we start slowly, slowly, slowly to build up habits where we respond, instead of triggering the past and our past history, our memories, and our negative thinking, we start to make presence our natural way of being, where we don't lose ourselves, where we stay composed, where our brain can even run off if it wants to, but we're going to stay right here. And it really starts with embracing our triggers. Now, I don't mean putting ourselves in harm's way, putting ourselves in situations that will intentionally upset us. I simply mean this very profound realization that I had recently, which is how we approach anything determines how we feel about everything. If we sit down to work and our mind is going, ugh, I do not want to do this. Ugh, not more work. I hate this work. This work is the worst. Guess what? We are going to hate that work. Guaranteed. If we sit down with excitement and joy and enthusiasm and joy for the privilege to do an honest day's work and to be a productive member of society, we can enjoy that same exact activity. It is always us, what we are bringing to an experience, that determines the experience. And so when we find a trigger, and instead of thinking, how dare they, how could this happen to me, why me, not again, or we say, thank you, universe, for the practice. Thank you, universe, for this opportunity to reach new heights, to become the person I want to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Then I guarantee that trigger is not going to trigger us. We have taken the gunpowder out of the bullet, and that trigger is just going to click and nothing will happen. The second thing we need to do to prevent that torturous stream of thought is to increase our presence. This is essential for every aspect of our lives. Really, if there is nothing else we do but practice presence, every aspect of our life will improve. There is really only one thing any of us needs to remember, and that is to practice presence. And what that means is we rewire our brain by recognizing that it has been conditioned and wired to be lost in thought, to live in the past and the future, to ruminate over the worst moments over and over, and anticipate the worst, and rewire it to be present, aware of what's going on around us and within us, and to remain alert always and especially during those difficult times where we are feeling negative emotions, destructive thoughts, and we're feeling that the universe is particularly painful and hard to deal with. When presence becomes our habit, any bad moment we no longer think about. It was for one brief moment and it's gone, and it doesn't stick to us. We don't latch on to it. We're not carrying that weight on our shoulders, we have a practice of constantly welcoming the moment and letting it go. Welcoming it, whatever it is, good or bad, and then letting it go. We don't need to hold on to good moments, and we don't need to let our unconscious mind carry the worst moments around with us for the rest of our lives. And this is why simply practicing presence and nothing else improves our relationships, because we're with someone completely. We are giving them our full attention. We're not thinking about what we're going to do later. We're not thinking of how we can get something out of them. We are just in the moment and responding to the moment with who we truly are, beyond that negative voice in our head that is not who we are. And we can stop listening to that voice when we become present. With presence, we don't listen to any of that mental habit and all physical habits that are negative stop immediately. So much of our society focuses on symptoms, and we look at the symptom as the cause. And instead of becoming present, we want to lose weight, or we want to get a promotion, or we want a significant other. But when we just increase our presence, work improves, creativity improves, productivity improves, the peace and joy in our lives is increased. And literally every single aspect of our lives falls into alignment with our intentions, because that ego is out of the picture. It may still be yapping in our ear, but we are the directors of our story, and we get to choose where we put the camera, where we put our focus and attention. And we do not have to give it to a voice in our head that, if it was a real person, would be our mortal enemy. And the way we create presence is by staying aware of our mind, our body, and our surroundings. We stay hypervigilant and aware of that voice, because we really need to recognize what we are thinking about most of the time in order to truly know what is going on inside of us, so that we can consciously choose a path forward that is based on honesty and truth instead of delusion, resistance, and aversion. So we meditate, we be without distractions when we are with people, when we are engaged in our tasks. We practice eating every bite of food and really feeling every moment of it. We give our loved ones undivided attention. We give our chores our undivided attention, and we approach them with joy and excitement. We feel every step when we walk. And eventually, we feel every breath. And this is when we become truly present as our new way of being. And the third thing that is just a bonus for when those torturous thoughts pop up, even after we've been practicing presence and making a lot of progress, and that is to turn it into a positive. And the way we do that is to look at those thoughts with curiosity. Instead of feeling those thoughts and believing those thoughts, we explore. Every explorer on Earth had tremendous courage to face the unknown. And we must be the explorers of our mind. And when we do that, we immediately turn fear into courage. And we turn insecurity and doubt into confidence and strength. So when those thoughts pop up, we can ask them, what is it teaching us? What can we learn from this? And what can we do about this? And sometimes it may be letting go and doing nothing. Sometimes it may be choosing to forgive someone who has wronged us. That can be personal, where we are just choosing to let go of resentment, or it may be choosing to reconcile with someone who has shown that they are sorry. In no way does it have to be going back to an abuser or putting ourselves in a position where we're going to be hurt again. It is simply, what can we do to let go of that suffering? What can we do to turn that negative voice into something positive? And even though it's maybe irrational, that voice in our head, even though it may be hyper negative, there may be a kernel of truth there that we won't know unless we look. And oftentimes, there is some action that we can take. It's kind of like procrastination feels terrible to us. And it is a sign that we've got to get to work. And the pain of work is less than the pain of procrastination. And so if it is fear about a job, maybe we can start looking for a new job or rededicate ourselves to our work and find a renewed enthusiasm there, or to come up with some creative solution for a problem we have in our professional life. If it's fear of loneliness or thoughts of rejection and reminders of a hard breakup, maybe that is telling us we need to put ourselves back out there. We need to watch that doom and gloom voice in our head that tells us we'll never find someone. And we need to remind ourselves that there is someone out there for every one of us. If that voice is focusing on family drama or a family separation, maybe there is something we can do to either let go and move on or reconcile. Oftentimes, these thoughts that keep popping into our heads stay there because of a lack of action. And again, sometimes that action can be nothing more than letting go of resentment, letting go of attachment, letting go of craving, and making peace with our situation. And other times, it can be a call for external action. But we won't know if we don't explore. And that is the beauty of even negative thoughts. We can find a nugget of truth. We can find a sliver of hope and a silver lining to grab onto. But first, we have to break that negative cycle of thought, break that negative habitual thinking, practice presence and embracing those triggers so that we can prevent them from happening in the first place. And then with that peaceful, joyful energy, by approaching everything in our life with joy and excitement, and by noticing those negative thoughts and turning them into positive action, our whole lives can change. Thank you so much for listening. If this has been helpful, if you find value in these podcasts, please consider supporting our podcast through either Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, or through eastwesticism.org. And we will try to keep it commercial-free as long as possible. That's very important to us. And we thank you so much for your support. Much love. You have been listening to Path to Peace with Todd Perlmutter. Being here and putting in this important and noble work is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself and others. If you found this podcast even a little helpful, please make sure to leave a review so it can reach others who may be in need. And remember, the path to peace starts with a single step.